folks. Welcome to the No Huddle Podcast brought to you by QBList.com, the podcast that you need to wrap up and win your week. My name is Kenny Heitenhove, and I am joined by QBList contributor Rich Holman. Rich, what is your go-to football snack?
I love me some onion dip, and I can dip anything in it. It's like cheesy Doritos, let's go. Regular chips, let's go. Pretzels, let's go. How do you feel about onion dip?
I think the reason why you can put anything in it is because it's masked by the putrid taste of onion dip.
Oh, wow.
It's horrific.
And oh, wow. My onion dip is very sad now.
Yeah, and I think we have to end the podcast now.
Oh, have a nice day.
It's over. Bye.
Let's get to football.
Thanks, everybody. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to continue. All right. Let's start the drive. All right, news and notes that may have implications on your fantasy team. Let's get to it on first down. Le'Veon Bell signed a one-year deal with the Chiefs. So how do you view this backfield moving forward? And can you say anything to talk teams with CEH off of the ledge?
Oh, boy. All right, so for the next week or two, I think CEH is going to retain his primary role. I really don't see them working in Bell until he gets familiar with the offense, until they get an eye on him in camp. Camp? What do they do right now in practice? But once they start working Le'Veon Bell into the offense, it's just going to be a nightmare. I don't think CEH is going to get enough work to be a primary back. I don't think Bell is going to get enough work to be a primary back. But let's break it down. So Bell's always been a beast in the passing game. For his career, he's averaged just shy of 5 catches a game. So I think once they work him in, the way to start working him in is through the passing game. And then we can also take a look at CEH's struggles in the red zone. Within the opponent's 10-yard line, Edwards-Helaire has 10 carries for minus 1 yard and 0 touchdowns. And that's in a Chiefs offense. Like, this is a good offense that should be able to move the ball. So once Bell takes the passing work and, in theory, the red zone work, I think CEH's role in this offense is just reduced to almost unusable for fantasy purposes. What do you think? You got anything to contribute for that one?
I think this is more of an indictment on the other two guys, not CEH. I think what's going to happen is kind of like what we talked about last week with the Chargers. I think Bell is going to take more of the first down, second down, and then CEH is going to be your passing down back, more like what we kind of expected out of him if Damien Williams would have played this year. Okay. That's kind of what I'm expecting out of him. I do expect that all that goal line work that we saw where he has not been efficient is going to go to Bell, because Bell has been fairly efficient that way in his career. So I'm not thinking he's going to get his touchdowns. So his touchdown upside is going to be capped. So I think that's going to go to Bell. But I don't see as much upside. So, like, if you're one of those guys that went ahead and took him in the first round, I think this move really hurts.
Big time. All right. Next up, Dalvin Cook has been ruled out in a tasty matchup against the Falcons. It's time to fire up Alexander Mattison, or do you expect Mike Boone to ruin Madison's breakout party?
Short answer would be no. I really think following Dalvin Cook's injury this last week, Madison, he had 34 snaps, which was way more than Mike Boone's, which was he had four snaps. Amir Abdullah, he didn't want to be left out. He had one. So within those snaps, Madison had 18 of the 20 total carries, and he had one target on top of that. So he finished the day with like 136 yards total. I really think Madison, this is his backfield. I really would expect Madison to kind of almost take over all, if not even a little bit more, of Cook's share of the offense. So that would be about 64% of the snap share. And then Boone would take maybe about 34% to kind of change things up for him, give him a little bit of rest. But when
glad you left that 2% for Amir Abdullah.
Well, you can't let him. You can't just let him. He's got to play too. I mean, he's going to get upset over there on the sidelines. Poor guy. And I would say that they're very similar backs. Madison and Boone, they have very similar athletic profiles. So The only difference really is their draft stock, and they definitely spent more on Madison, and I do think that has some weight. So they've been playing Madison a lot more behind Cook, and I really think that he's just going to be the guy, and he should take over. So Deontay Johnson has been ruled out with a back injury. Does this give you any confidence that you need to slot Chase Claypool into your starting lineup against the Browns?
So I'm going to break the trend of all the articles and podcasts that I've listened to and say, yes, Chase Claypool is scoring another 4 touchdowns against the Browns this week. That's my hot take.
No.
You've heard it here first.
Wow.
Seriously, though, the Browns are pretty good up front. They've allowed the 4th fewest rushing yards for the year. And then on the flip side, Cleveland's allowed the 3rd most points per game to opposing fantasy wide receivers. So I like Claypool to finish as a high-end wide receiver 2 this week. I'm pretty high on him. I really like him. What do you think?
I agree. I think he is I actually think he's more like a wide receiver 3 flex. Actually, I'm going to talk a little bit more about him later as we play our contrarian picks. So I'm going to save that so that you have to listen to more of the podcast. All right. And we also have Julio Jones, Davante Adams, and Chris Godwin all appear to be set to return to the field after extended absences. We really have no analysis for this, but we just wanted to say football is more fun when our studs are actually playing and your fantasy teams actually are playing as you intended them when you drafted them. Okay, it is 2nd down. We're getting into handcuff season where stashes can turn into gold and help you win down the stretch. Who is your favorite stash in shallow leagues? Rich, who is your first shallow stash?
Sure. So in shallow leagues, he's probably not available if you're in a competitive league, but shallow leagues, Chase Edmonds is my man. He's kind of risen to the top of the handcuffs because of Kenyon Drake's struggles. In terms of targets, he already leads the targets out of the backfield 23-6, which kind of surprised me. Like, Drake was a stud down the stretch last year, and I really thought it would just keep carrying on. But the Cardinals have just gotten Edmonds into the workload. They've wanted to get the ball in his hands. He's got a 13.5% target share on the year, and he hasn't even seen the field on more than 50% of the time this year. I love that Edmonds has that standalone value, and then he has the upside if he overtakes Drake for the lead back role. The offense is up tempo too, so if he gets more of a role, it just hits the ground running. All right, who's your shallow league stash?
Well, before I get to my stash, I'm assuming that you got all that research from the opportunity report that posted today, right?
Of course I read it.
Yep. I don't think you did. Okay. All right. My stash is Jalen Reagor. Does that make you happy?
It does.
It's an Eagle,
and maybe he could actually hit the field.
Yes, he's going to play, hopefully. he is only a 15% owned right now in Yahoo leagues. He's a stud wide receiver rookie out of TCU. Out of this crazy wide receiver class, he has the 4th earliest breakout age out of all the rookie receivers, and he ranked 5th in wide receiver breakout rating, which means that he essentially has a 48.4% chance to break out, which would have been actually the highest rating last year, which would have been higher than DK Metcalf. And you can find all of that information on Breakout Finder, which is kind of like a subsidiary of PlayerProfiler.com. It's a pretty cool app, so go check that out. Coming back into the 4th most passing heavy offense this year, which is the Eagles, he also has no competition for targets right now. They literally have no one. In weeks 1 and 2, he did play and he earned 4 targets apiece with a healthier receiving core. And think about it, that's just his first 2 games in the league. So I expect him to do some bigger things down the stretch, and he's super talented. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I think he has a lot of upside going forward. So if we are looking at deeper league stashes, Rich, who is someone that you are looking at that maybe you're only going to try to get if they are, if you're in a super deep league.
Sure. If we're in a super deep league. So listen, I had to cheat some and I went to QB list on Eli Grabansky's mustache list to be reminded of Rashad Penny. He's only 4% owned on Yahoo and he's returning from that ACL injury that took him down last year. He had two monster games before going down with the ACL injury. And then Carlos Hyde has been pretty mediocre for the Seahawks. So Penny should slide right into the primary handcuff role for Chris Carson. And then like Edmonds, it's a high powered offense in Seattle. And this is just swinging for the fences. That's what you want on your bench at this point in the season. You want those home runs that could just lead you straight to the playoffs and straight to the championship. Who you got, Kenny?
So I am going to go with another rookie wide receiver. I have Darnell Mooney. He's only 2% owned on Yahoo. And if you don't know who he is, it's Chicago's new wide receiver too. So a lot of us are still thinking about Anthony Miller, but this is a rookie wide receiver out of Tulane. Mooney has another really low breakout age. He broke out at the age of 18 years and 9 months, which is top five for last year's wide receiver class, which is, you know, one of the best projecting out so far. He's also top 15 in dominator rating. And if you don't know, dominator rating is really the percentage of the college team of their college team's yards and touchdowns. So how much of that they made up. So he had about 35% of that. And he's also ranked six in college yards per reception. So, I mean, he had some serious production in college. He also had, since week two, has outsnapped and out-targeted Anthony Miller, who was the former wide receiver two in Chicago. Now, the thing is, we are talking about Chicago's offense, but I think as Foles kind of gets more reps in that offense and he's not having to share time in practice with Trubisky, I think he will improve a little bit and that offense should improve a little bit. And if that does happen, I think Mooney has the opportunity to really improve his production and fantasy points. And I think that he could also win you some leagues and some flex positions. And he's definitely, I think, one of the least known wide receiver twos in football right now.
Third down. If it's week five and your fantasy team is already ruined, it's still fun to get in some DFS cash games and tournaments. Kenny, in cash games, who's a guy that you're locking into your lineup?
So I already talked about him today, Alexander Mattison. He's at 7,200 on DraftKings. And as we mentioned before, I think Mattison is walking right into Dalvin Cook's role, if not just a little bit more. And then, like I said, that's about 65% or 64% snap share and about a little bit more than 10% target share in that offense. I think Dalvin Cook has about 12% right now this season. And the Vikings kind of have a propensity to favor the run game anyway. Plus, they are favorites at home against a very bad Falcons defense. So I think Madison's really going to get it done this week. What do you think?
Yeah, so actually going off at Madison, DK did a really good job of pricing him up. He's if you remove Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, who are the top two priced running backs, he's actually the second priced running back. So that's pretty pricey, but that's smart. That's a great matchup. So for my cash game play, I'm looking to Myles Gaskin. I'm paying down a little bit. He's only $5,400, Miami Dolphins starting running back. In DFS, opportunity is king, and Gaskin's been the lead back all year. He has a 63% snap share every week, at least 63% each week. He has a 15% target share on the year. And the only knock against Gaskin was the lack of touchdowns. However, with Jordan Howard a healthy scratch last week, Gaskin had handled four carries and saw two targets within the opponent's 10-yard line, found the end zone for the first time. So we're talking about a back that gets the red zone touches and is involved in the pass game at the cheap price of $5,400. On top of that, the Dolphins face the Jets, who have allowed the six most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. If you're playing in a massive GPP tournament, it's helpful to go contrarian and pick some guys that are projected to be low-owned. Kenny, who do you think will be low-owned and could have a monster week?
So I am going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster at 6,600 on DK. and his ownership is projected to be about 7.3%. I think right now in this game, they're playing the Browns. I think the waters are a little bit muddied. And on the one hand, you have people forgetting that the Browns are susceptible, unless they just listen to your analysis, they're susceptible to the pass this year. And that didn't really happen because last week because they played the Colts, who have a pretty bad pass offense right now. But really, the Colts give up the sixth most points to slot receivers, and that's where Juju normally plays. Also, people are going to be all over the new star, Chase Claypool, who just scored 4 touchdowns in a game. So I think a lot of people are going to be jumping on that bandwagon, which then leaves Juju, and he's already priced kind of high. So I don't think that people are going to be jumping all over Juju, but I do think that he has a good opportunity to break out in this game. He's been in kind of a funk this year, and I think he does have an opportunity to really put up some decent points in this game. And Rich, who are you pivoting to in GPP?
Sure. So I'm going back to the running back position with Ronald Jones at 6,000. He's currently projected to be 8% owned. Green Bay has allowed the second most points per game to running backs this year. Leonard Fournette's probably going to be back, but Jones has done nothing to lose the lead back role with Fournette sidelined. He's seen 14 targets over the last 2 weeks and handled 90% of the running back carries in that time. Most of the running back ownership will flock to Madison, Derrick Henry, and David Montgomery against the Panthers. Montgomery's $5,800. So I think pivoting up to Ronald Jones, that'll provide you with a nice upside, and it helps you get different, and I don't think it limits your upside.
All right, it is time for fourth down. So can you tell us one article or podcast that you read or listened to this week over at QBList.com that you feel like you need to get the word out about?
Sure. So this week I read the Streaming Defenses piece by Mike Miklios. I love reading the Streaming D piece every week just to find a cheap DST for my DFS purposes. But with bye weeks in full effect, this is a great article to help you find a DST to stream. This week, Mike highlights 3 defenses that are rostered in less than 10% of leagues. So go check it out. What do you got, Kenny?
So I read Trey Burton's Going Deep by Eli Grabansky. So he took a look at a guy that I was pretty high on going into the season as kind of a sneaky tight end play, Trey Burton. And he kind of broke it down as to why Trey Burton might be a guy that you need to be investing in right now, because he is starting to get a lot of looks from Phillip Rivers in that Colts offense. And of course, I read it because it's a Colts piece. And then I wanted that confirmation bias to make sure that I was correct in my thinking. And Eli, you made me feel like I was a smart guy. So I want you to read it too.
All the Going Deep pieces are just super impressive. I love when someone's able to dive into everything and break it all down. It's so cool.
They really are. And that's kind of our showcase pieces here at QB List and over at Pitcher List also. All right. And that is going to do it for the No Huddle podcast. Remember to visit QBList.com for all the fantasy analysis that you could ever need. Rich, where can people find you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at RichardoPL83. What do you got, Kenny?
And you can find me at KennyQBL on Twitter. And thank you for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you right here next week.